Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life. Come fly with Global Air Force.
There was such anointing came on his church. 10 months later, when I went back, I said, Henry, what's been the fruit of the last time we were here? Because to be honest with you, if I don't hear the stories of fruit, the enemy actually comes to me and says, you just got a lot of psychological suggestion and hysteria. And, you know, I've heard the stories, and he tries to use those stories and those accusations. And you know, if you don't have a chance to hear about fruit, the enemy can even get you to begin to doubt. So I have to ask about fruit. So I said, Henry, what's been the fruit?
And here's your host, Jim Rohn.
Praise God. It is another beautiful day. And today we have an adventure with Randy Clark. And you know that it can be an adventure as he travels around the world. Randy is the author of a book called There Is More, where God takes a humble pastor, that's himself, and promotes him to a world ministry. So let's get on with our adventure as we jump into the middle of this conference. Here's Randy.
All right, here we go. Oh, a little disclaimer. I have people that listen to everything I say, and they try to compare one story with another story. And if I tell it differently or get the time sequence out, they say, see, he's lying. So my disclaimer is this. I'm not lying. All these stories are true. I just don't remember exactly the order they came in now because it's over 18 years. So I may get the order out of sequence as when it happened. Okay? But basically, I got it seared in my memory. All right. I went to Oklahoma. I'm in this Pentecostal church. About 30, and sometimes I say 50 to 30 because I often forget. Was it 30 or 50? I don't really remember. But it's a lot anyway. And they're lined up, and they're all pastors. I'm going down the line. I don't get one prophetic word. Not one. I'm just going down the line. Phil. And praying for them. But no prophets at all. They all fell down. All 30 of them. I couldn't have told you by looking who got what. It looked the same. It wasn't like one was much greater than another, though sometimes that happens. See, the thing is, we have a tendency to try to make everything so concrete. This is the way that's the way he's always going to do it. God is a God of diversity, and so don't lock him into this means that too tightly, because if you do, then you can have it. Well, I didn't shake enough to be really anointed. I didn't feel enough power to be really anointed. It's not so much what happens there as when you go out and take your mantle and strike the river that determines what you got. So anyway, they all look the same. I went back 2 months later and I heard the rest of the story. They said, one of those guys you prayed for was a Pentecostal, tongue-speaking, gift-working, already, what I mean, he believed in the gifts already. For 30 years, he'd been in Honduras as a missionary for 30 years. In 2 months, he had seen more miracles than he had seen in the first 30 years put together. Something else happened. He already had been baptized in the Spirit. He already had a good theology of believing in the gifts of the Spirit for today. And he already moved in them. And he believed in healing and had seen some healing. But something happened. He got an upgrade in the Spirit. And I couldn't have told you it was going to be him. I went to Buenos Aires. I think Rex was with me on that trip. And we met Omar Cabrera, working with him, and also Carlos Anacondia. We were the second largest Baptist church of the nation, the oldest Baptist church of the nation. I was praying for people, for impartation. And this young guy, Marcelo Diaz, and he was in his early 20s. He was a new, young church planter, and he was planting in not a favela, it's a Portuguese word, but what would be the Spanish word for like a slum? But barrio. He was in a really bad barrio. It was really poor. Just getting started. Didn't have very many people. And I'd prayed for him. And it's midnight. And he came up to me at midnight. He said, Randy, pray for me again. I looked at him and said, sometimes I can tell of 1,000 people how many times I pray for somebody. And I looked at him and I said, I've already prayed for you 3 times. And he says, yes, but Rodney prayed for you 5. And I said, okay. And I prayed for him again. This time, instead of falling like this, like somebody hit him, and he went back like this several feet, landed on the floor, and he's shaking. And I walked over to him, and I said, Marcelo, this tomorrow Sunday, when you go to your church, pray for every sick person in your church. And I walked off. Found out a couple of days later, he did. He Baptist. Prayed for, he said, we're going to pray for the sick. Every sick person in the church that day got healed, including a woman in fourth stage cancer. She got healed. And the community said, we're not going to call you the Baptist church. We're going to call you the healing church. Several years later, we went to that barrio, and it's one of the large, it is the largest church in that area of Buenos Aires. It was an impartation. It was an activation. And it didn't happen the first, second, or third time. It was the fourth. I don't understand that. Went to Norway, in Haugesund, Norway. And there was 30 pastors in the basement of a... it was called Mission Church, which is the equivalent of the Evangelical Free Church in America. It's their sister denomination in Norway. And there's 30 of them lined up, and there's this young 36-year-old, blonde-headed, blue-eyed Norwegian Baptist pastor there. And I'm coming down, and as I get to the end, I get to him. His name is Leif Hetland. And I said, and at this time, I have to get some. At this time, I'd been prophesying, but didn't know it. And I'd always tell people, I can't prophesy. I don't know how to prophesy. I can't prophesy. And I get words of knowledge, but I don't prophesy. And then my friend Mark, who was traveling with me as a personal assistant at the time, he said, you got to quit saying that. Too many people are coming to me and saying what you said when you're praying for them. It really happened. You don't know when you're doing it. You think you're praying. But when you're praying, it's so natural. It comes out so naturally. You don't even know you're doing it, but you're actually praying prophetic prayers over people. So anyway, I said this. I see you in your dark place. All around you is darkness. Make you a bulldozer. And you're going to make a way where there's been no way. And it's like if you're here at the top and this area here is light. All this is darkness. I see a multitude of people coming out of the darkness, coming to the light and following you in the light. Power of God hit him, knocked him to the floor, and he shook for 2.5 to 3 hours. I've heard him tell it both ways. He's not sure whether it's 2.5 or 3 hours. But he shook. He didn't understand what had happened to him. He's a Baptist guy. And this is all new to him. He'd been in the mission field. Hadn't seen too much happen. Not hardly any. He said, that next week, I'd walk by people and know what they're thinking. I'd know what they're feeling. It was a prophetic gift, but he didn't know how to interpret it. He said, every person I prayed for the next week got healed. But I didn't understand the word. Didn't know how to apply it. So I didn't do anything. And in the following year, not that God did this to him, I don't believe it all, I believe it's the enemy. But in the following year, he gets in a car accident, has his back broken. He has another accident, and his neck is severely damaged. And to this day, he still walks in pain. So, he's recuperating, in traction, meditating on this experience of this word that had been given to him, and he gets the understanding. I am to take the gospel to places where they never heard it. And the moment his feet steps on the soil of Pakistan, the glory of God and the miracles start happening, and he has led about approximately 1 million Muslims to Jesus Christ through healing events. A strong healing anointing. I was just 10, 11 years ago, Rex and I had gone, and Ben had gone to Kiev, Ukraine. And we had this meeting. I'd just been to Brazil for the first time. Had seen 2,000 people get healed in 2 weeks. 2,200 actually. In 2 weeks then. Recently we had one day and had 3,000 people get healed in Taiwan just a few weeks ago. So, but at that time, that's the most we'd ever seen. See, it's from glory to glory. From faith to faith. And you got to be responsible for what he's showing you. But anyway, so I was so happy. I was just so happy. 2 weeks, 2,200 people. We get to Kiev, to the Ukraine. And in Henry Madava's church, in 3 days, we have 2,000 people that got healed. And we had an impartation service that affected his whole church and him. And before I got there, he said, Lord, how do we, he's apostolic, he said, how do we reach the cities of Europe, especially Western Europe? And the Lord said, the way that my son did, send out disciples ahead of you, two by two, with the message that the kingdom is at hand. Tell them to prophesy, tell them to heal, tell them to cast out demons, and tell them that you're coming, and when you get there, heal the sick and declare the gospel. So, but he said, I didn't have the courage to do it. I knew this was the word of the Lord to me, but I didn't have faith to do it or courage to do it. Then you came. And God so used you. I saw him be so faithful to you. And I have to confess, I went back many, many times, but I'd never had a meeting like that first one. It was a divine setup. I couldn't even preach some sermons because the words of knowledge were coming so hard, they were hurting me. I couldn't concentrate to preach. And I said, well, you know, God's in a hurry. We just forget the sermon. Let's just go for healing. But it was such an amazing time. It was a divine appointment. They all weren't like that after. They're all good, but that one was like off the charts. There was such anointing came on his church. 10 months later when I went back, I said, Henry, what's been the fruit of the last time we were here? Because to be honest with you, if I don't hear the stories of fruit, the enemy actually comes to me and says, you just got a lot of psychological suggestion and hysteria. And, you know, I've heard the stories, and he tries to use those stories and those accusations. And you know, if you don't have a chance to hear about fruit, the enemy can even get you to begin to doubt. So I have to ask about fruit. So I said, Henry, what's been the fruit? He said, well, the Sunday after you left, the next Sunday I came to church, walked in, and people were buzzing. They had gone to the streets, and they had prayed for the sick, and they had prophesied, and they had healed, and they had cast demons out, and they were so excited. And the Lord says, your people are now ready, and so are you. So I went for it. He said, we went to 3 cities in the last 10 months that there wasn't an evangelical church in it. I sent out my people, 100 of them, 2 weeks before I got there. By the time I got there, they had led 14,000 people to the Lord, average, in each city. No, it was 12,000. 12,000 people to the Lord in each of the 3 cities. I got there and we had an average of 8,000 each time. 60,000 new believers and churches have been started in 3 cities. I was so excited. Well, I lost track of Henry because I got involved in Brazil and I hadn't got to go back to Ukraine for a while. About 10 years, actually. And just recently, we went back. I sat down with Henry, and I said, Henry, bring me up to date. What's happened? He said, 1 million souls have come into the kingdom since that impartation. Hundreds of churches have been started, and he does it even in the Islamic countries. I think that's not the devil. I don't think these stories indicate that the devil's so excited about people falling in love with Jesus, worshiping Jesus, becoming disciples, churches getting started, people coming to the Lord. That's not the devil. You have to be pretty dumb to think that's the devil. Anybody with half sense. It's the Holy Spirit. That's New Testament evangelism. It's not the only kind of evangelism. I believe that the greatest model of evangelism is done and modeled by the Bakers in Mozambique, where you have presence evangelism softening the ground through drilling wells, through feeding the poor, orphans taken care of, widows' houses being built. This is all the gospel. Never should have been split in the modernist fundamentalist controversy of the 1920s. Where the fundamentalists said, we're not concerned about social issues. And the liberals said, well, we're not concerned. Everybody's going to go to heaven anyway, so we're not concerned about preaching the gospel. We're just social issues. Up until that time, the gospel was both held together. And it's got to be held together. If we forget about the concern about this life, we're actually getting Gnostic. Because the Gnostics didn't care about healing. The Gnostics didn't care about this body. It's one of the earliest heresies of the church. But the real gospel is God that concerns about getting your soul to heaven is also concerned about getting food in your mouth, and clothing on your back, and he's concerned about getting the power of heaven upon you today. So I want to tell that particular story. But before we do, I got to tell one more. It's not the last one, but one more on this series. It's called The Minister of Fire. I was in another city, Santa Fe, I think it was, in Argentina. And Omar had gathered 50 of these pastors and their mates, so we have 100 people. And I'm going down the line. And Omar Jr. said, Randy, these are our pastors in this state. Prophesy to them. I said, Omar, This is like 95. I can't prophesy. I don't have that gift. I just can't. I get words of knowledge. I pray for healing. But I know prophets. That's one of the problems with knowing famous prophets. When you know famous prophets, you know, if I hung around him, I'd be back very long. I'd be back. I can't prophesy. You know. Your standard is so high. I can't even do it. So he said, I want you to prophesy. I can't. Prophesy. I can't. Prophesy to him. I can't. Try. I said, okay, let me ask you a question. Does any of those guys understand English? No. I'll try. But if what I say, you know, doesn't bear witness, don't translate me. It was really good to have that safety valve. So I just stepped out, and I got to the end, don't think this is what I can do, because I can't. I've only had this happen three or four times in 41 years of ministry. So anyway, I get to the end, and Omar looked at me and said, Randy, we've had prophets here that wasn't that accurate. That's the most accurate prophecy we've ever heard. And I'm thinking, really? Yeah. And so I got to this one guy. That's why I want to make that disclaimer. I don't want you to think I'm more than what I am. I got to this one guy. I said, God is going to make you a minister of fire. And you're going to go through all the churches, all the 400 some odd churches in Vision de Futura and Omar Cabrera's denomination. Then God's going to take you to Canada. Then he's going to take you to the United States. And then you're going to go to Great Britain. And he fell down and shook. I didn't know any more about fruit. Years later, matter of fact, almost all these stories I heard from 2 years minimum to 6 to 8 years after they happened, most of them. There's a few that's shorter than that. So years later, I get this telephone call. It's from this guy. He can't speak English, so the guy's translating for him. And he said, I got to tell you what happened. Everything you said happened. I went through all of the churches in that denomination. I've just come from Canada. I'm in the United States on my way to Great Britain. Today he lives in Houston, and he has a card that calls him Minister of Fire. Now, the reason why he's got that card that says Minister of Fire wasn't because of the prophecy. It's because the day after the prophecy, an angel showed up with a torch of fire, stuck it in his mouth, pushed it into his stomach. He went out in the spirit, and for 20 days he could not walk under his own strength. He had to be carried into meetings, shoulders, arms over the shoulders of other pastors. He'd lift up his hands and they'd fall out in the spirit, which I've never had that, where you lift up your hand and everybody goes out. He got more. And they nicknamed him the Minister of Fire. So, last story of this series before we get to the conclusion. We're coming down from 38,000 to around 20,000 now feet altitude. We're going to land the plane, but the flaps aren't down yet. But we are approaching the runway as far as conclusion to the sermon. Anyway, here we go. Last story before the concluding putting the flaps down story. I'm in Toronto. I believe it's 1997, though it could have been 96, and it's January. I get there. John Arnott pulls me aside. He points to this woman. He said, you see that blonde-headed woman over there? I said, uh-huh. He said, her name is Heidi Baker. And she's a burned-out missionary. She came here a month or two ago and got healed. But she's just literally desperate for God to touch her because she's just worn out. And she's tired. And she even John's telling me this, that she just, on the way here, said, God, if you don't touch me, I'd just like to just sell some stuff at Kmart for a while and just recuperate. I'm just burned out. And he said this, she's got an orphanage with 300 people, and she's got one little church about 100 in Mozambique. And she's desperate. Now, I knew that in the natural. So I'm preaching a sermon on pressing into God, going for it. Pressing in, asking God, seeking God, desiring God. I'm preaching this message and she can't handle it anymore. And she said, I never do this, but she got up and ran to the front and she's at the altar. I see her. And when I saw her, I heard myself say, because this is not what you say to a burned out missionary. This doesn't make sense. I said, Heidi, God wants to know, do you want the nation of Mozambique? She's on her knees. She says, yes. And she's weeping, crying, yes. And I remember myself saying, and she said, you know, you and I are both crazy to have said what we did. It didn't make sense in the natural, but it was God. I said, God is going to give you the nation of Mozambique. You're going to see the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, and the dead be raised. And she was hit instantly. Now, let me say something. There's a tendency to like prophecies of grandeur and not like ones that aren't. There's a tendency, if somebody says something big and great to you, to grab a hold of it. I want to caution you that. I want to warn you that may not be God. Just because somebody says something great for you, I'm telling you, it may be God, but I believe compared to the amount of resistance you're going to get on the other end, God is going to need to back up that word of a man that you or a woman that you know. This was not just a man word or woman word. This was a word from heaven. My friends, that is the importance of manifestation. You see, manifestations are not, they're just side issues. They're not the main plane. They're not the plain thing. But I'm no longer going to apologize for them because I've got this thing figured out. God's power comes upon us with so much power. When that much power is in it, it causes some manifestation. You know, one time my basement flooded in an old home I built. I bought it in 1901. It was in the wrong side of the tracks, on the wrong side of town, in a little poor area. And big old house. But it flooded. And the deep freeze didn't have anything in it. And so the water's in there, and it's about knee deep, and it's kind of floating a little bit, and where the motor's at still there, and I got electric wire running to reach it because of, you know, and I'm in the water knee deep, and I walk right past that electric wire, and I feel it, whoo! And, you know, God watches over fools. Just getting close to that electricity, I felt it. And I, when there can be experiences in God that literally it's so strong, you're not trying to make something happen. You can't stop it from happening because the glory and the power is so strong. Now, having said that, I have prayed for a guy in India named Samson. He didn't bat an eye, but he got the anointing. And he went back and everything he saw started happening. But that's unusual. But he didn't have this kind of persecution. So Heidi felt like God was on her. She felt like she was instantly in heat, burning up. Like she told me, I felt like God stuck me in the oven, 450 degrees, and I was just burning up instantly. Within a few minutes, her hair is wet with sweat. She's shaking. She's feeling. And Heidi's a mystic. I'm not, but she is. And she hears the audible voice of God quite a bit. And the Lord spoke to her and said, hundreds of churches and thousands of people. And she said, God, how can that be? My husband, Roland, and I have started 4 churches in 17 years that's almost killed us. And he took her into visions and showed her how it was going to happen. The power keeps getting stronger. At one point, she says, God, this is too weird. You're scaring me. I don't think you want to kill me. But you're scaring me and you're going to kill me. And she heard the Lord speak to her, which would have freaked me out. Because in 1989, I did have an experience where I was scared I was going to die if he turned it up. I said, God, you know, I don't think you want to kill me, but you're scaring me. It was the most powerful impartation I ever had. 1989. I'd had one in 84, 89, 93 were the 3 main ones. Well, anyway, Heidi said, so I appreciate what she's saying. She says, God, you're scaring me. You're going to kill me. And he said, good. I need you dead. That'd been it. I thought, okay, I'm out of here. I mean, it would have freaked me out. God continued to show her how he's going to do it. At one point, she can't move anything below her neck. Can't move her body. Can't even lift a finger. She needs to go to the bathroom. And she had this disease, which I don't know if she still has it or not, but then she had this disease that her bladder began to fill. She got stabbing pain. And she's in pain and needs to go to the bathroom and can't lift a finger. And God speaks to her and says, what I've told you to do is impossible for you to do. You need the whole church to help you. I don't see people the way you do. You think the people stand behind the pulpit and preach to 5,000 people here? They're my choice saints. I'm going to send you one of my choice servants to help you, to recalibrate how you see. And Betty, not Apostle Betty, not Prophet Betty, not Evangelist Betty, not Great Pastor Betty, Night Watchman Betty, probably the lowest person on the organizational chart in man's perspective, human perspective. Joel, that's Betty. She's just a night watchman. And God says, Heidi, I'm going to send you one of my choice servants. And Betty came and said, Heidi, you didn't need anything? She says, yeah, I got to go to the bathroom. I can't move. She went and got a wheelchair, picked her up, put her in a wheelchair, rolled her to the bathroom, carried her into the bathroom, helped her go to the bathroom, helped her get back together, and rolled her back down and laid her on the altar. 7 days and nights this lasted. Roland had to carry her out at night, carry her back in the daytime. 7 days and nights. The longest impartation I've ever read about in church history or heard about. Now you say, well, that's, you've got a lot of shaking and crying and a lot of weird stuff going on there. How do you know it's God? Over 450 people been raised from the dead. 10,000 churches have been started. And 1 million people plus have come into the kingdom. And last week I was in Pasadena with Heidi and Roland, and they shared this story. We're all coming into money now for the kingdom. There's a 92-year-old man that came to him. You guys don't know this story. 92-year-old man came to him and said, we've been watching your ministry and studying you for several years. I'm 92 years old. Or his representative said he's 92. He said, I got millions of dollars. I want to lay it at your feet. I want you to start a church every 5 kilometers. And I want you to cover Mozambique with churches. And I will pay for every church. And he said, and you need to get started because I'm 92 and I want to see it all given away before I die. So get started. That's the kingdom, and that's the power, and that's the glory. Hallelujah! Isn't it wonderful? God is releasing millions into the kingdom. Millions into the kingdom. And get this, he said, we're already doing it in Tanzania, and now we're going to hit Mozambique. Yeah.
Come and listen in to a radio station where the mighty hosts of heaven sing. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
If you want to hear the songs of Zion coming from the land of endless spring, get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on. Listen in to the glory line chorus, listen to the glad hosannas roll. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Get a little taste of joy awaiting, get a little heaven in your soul. Get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on.
Global Air Force wants you. Be a part of the Global Air Force Radio Ministry. Please go to our website at www.globalairforce.net. That's www.globalairforce.net.
Thank you for flying with Global Air Force.